Okay, 951.
Authorize contracts with Brown and Caldwell, Inc., Kennedy Jenks Consultants, Inc., and Murray Smith and Associates, Inc., for professional engineering services to continue the sewer system rehabilitation program, project number E10031, phase two, pipe rehabilitation, E10500, phase three, pipe rehabilitation, and E10576, large diameter sewer rehabilitation, for a total of $9 million.
Mr. Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. This ordinance would authorize the Bureau of Environmental Services to contract with three consulting firms to design upcoming sewer repair projects. The Bureau operates and maintains over 2,500 miles of sewer pipes, and more than a third of those pipes are 80 years or older. BES has identified critical sewers that are nearing the end of their useful life and need to be repaired or replaced to avoid pipe failure. BES intends to work with the consulting firms to design sewer repairs that will protect water quality, public health, and the environment. And I'm pleased to introduce Scott Gibson and Claudia Sterling to give us a very brief overview and to take your questions.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor, City Councilman. My name is Scott Gibson. I'm Principal Engineer at the City of Portland. With me is Claudia, as Commissioner Fish has said, and we're here today asking for authorization on contracts. These contracts will support one of the Bureau's most basic work elements, and that is to safely and reliably collect sewage and convey it to our wastewater treatment facilities. The city owns and operates, as Commissioner Fish said, about 2,500 miles of sanitary and combined sewer pipe that are about, and one-third of those are about 80 years or older. This is a large and expensive system with a replacement value estimated about $6.5 billion. With each pipe failure, we violate our permit, damage property, create risk to human health, and it's our goal to do that, to prevent that by doing proactive engineering. The Bureau carries out a comprehensive planned sewer inspection program using robotic cameras. The data from these inspections is coded into defects, and a series of analytical tools are used to determine the risk of failure. The cost to repair that failure, along with the social and environmental cost of the failure. These costs are then compared against the cost of a preventative repair that would intervene and prevent the failure, and we come up with a cost-benefit risk-based approach to determining which sewers should be repaired and when. Our projects target the highest return on investment pipes, and we use this process also to prioritize the pipes. This map that we're showing here is sort of a pixelated version of the risk that comes out of the analysis, so it shows you where the sewer risk is. This is in our systems plan, and we our actual analysis is on a pipe-by-pipe basis, including up to 10-foot segments. So we actually look at each 10-foot segment of pipe for risk of failure, but we've pixelated here to give you a good idea where the rehabilitation need is and where the projects that you've approved in the past and will approve in the future are going to be located. Some of the challenges with this work that we face in preparing our projects for construction, they include minimizing construction disturbances, communicating with the community, ensuring we construct high-quality, long-lived infrastructure, optimizing our construction costs, and coordinating with other bureaus and activities. This is an example from a recent project that was out to bid. It's the Kenton Sewer Rehabilitation Project. Our public outreach group supports a systematic outreach program that helps educate the neighborhoods about the needs of these projects and the upcoming impacts. We do this early and regularly in order to communicate with the neighbors so they know what's coming. We also do online resources. Specifically, we recently sent out a flyer on pipe bursting to one of the neighbors because the neighbors were asking about the technique and what we were doing, and it had unique elements to it. So we followed up with their questions with some information about the process. A competitive selection process has been completed, and the Bureau is recommending award to three qualified firms and teams. The primary firms are Brown and Caldwell, Kennedy Jenks, and Murray Smith. The scope of work included in these contracts includes project management, surveying, civil engineering, geotechnical engineering, constructability review and validation, selection of the appropriate pipe rehabilitation methodologies, permitting, traffic engineering, utility coordination, public involvement, and a couple others. The teams were formed to help the Bureau meet its aspirational goal of 20% participation by minority women in emerging small businesses. The combined participation rate for all three teams is about 35% on these three contracts. It's well above our 20% aspirational goal. The three prime firms have done a good job at reaching out to minority women and emerging partners and building teams that could help us meet this goal. We're utilizing 24 minority women and emerging small business firms in these three contracts. Roughly three of the $9 million will be passed through to minority women and emerging small businesses. The next step, if approved, notice to proceed will be in October, and we'll begin design work immediately. Typical duration, 16 to 24 months, depending on the complexity of the work that's assigned. And these follow-on construction contracts will come back before the council for approval before they go out to construction. And that's our presentation. If you have any questions?
Thank you, Scott. I got a couple of, keep your slides handy. If you could go back to that list, if there were two lists, one was second or third slide of what, not this one, but go back. Keep going, please. There's a list of work elements.
Oh, okay.
Some of which you self-perform and some of which you contract out for.
This one?
No, go back further upstream, earlier in the presentation. Keep going. Well, maybe I missed it. Sorry. There was a list. Why don't you go forward again? That one. Okay. So some of this work, I mean, coordination with other bureaus, communicating with community groups, I assume that the primary work is primarily done by city staff, right? And then the technical work of engineering solutions is what you're contracting out for, right?
Yeah, each of these efforts has a project manager and a public information specialist assigned to them to work with the consultants, and they generally do focus on the internal coordination between the building, between the bureaus, messaging and communicating with the public.
Right, but you contract with some of these firms for project managers for the construction phase, right?
Each of the consulting firms will have a project manager on their side, which will manage the coordination of the subconsultants, and the work of project management is shared between the city staff and the leader for the consulting firm.
Right.
Is that?
Yeah. Okay. So about how much construction is this $9 million worth of technical support going to support?
Well, we recently ran the numbers, and the engineering fee is running between 10 and 15%, depending on the complexity of these. So you could multiply them by 10 and say this is $90 million on the high end, somewhere around $70 million worth of construction on the low end.
Okay. All right, good. I just wanted to get that sense of scale that you, on the engineering side, are around 10% typically, and you're dividing that work between our own staff for elements of it and then this larger outside resource for the rest.
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you.
I just want to note that that's two engineers engaging in a thorough vetting of the issue, and the rest of us will be getting college credits for being witnesses to this debate.
Thank you very much. And the minority women participation is really impressive. And so I'm going to be asking Parks Director Mike Abate to contact you to find out about how you put out these contracts and encourage the formation of teams. Obviously, it's a big amount of money, but then if you're able to get the contract to include that participation by smaller businesses, that's what we want to model in some of our other projects. So thank you very much. Good job.
You're welcome.
Other questions? Anyone want to speak on this item?
Yes, we have two people signed up to speak on this.
Okay.
Joe Walsh and Leon Chavaria.
Okay.
Come on up. This is a non-emergency ordinance, Mayor?
Yes, non-emergency ordinance. So, Joe, at least met that objective that you raised earlier.
Emergency. Wow, so cool.
It does happen occasionally.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. Most of my questions were answered in the back and forth that you had, which is really good. And I would like to compliment BES on this one. I'm a big critic of BES and what they do outside of what's considered normal sewage expenditures. So when they get into the environmental projects and stuff like that. We're heavy critics on that, and we think that should come out of general funds. This one is right what they're supposed to be doing. So I'm really here to compliment them on that, and also to take the opportunity to compliment them because we are a critic. So to be just when you're right, you're right. And they are right on this one. The we would like to see the required waging moved up to $15 an hour. We're not going to get that. We know that. But we would like to bring that out. When you do these contracts, you could require, I think, you can ask the city attorney on this one, that the construction part or the architectural part have a minimum of $15 an hour and starts the process. You're going to hear a lot about $15 an hour. It's going to drive you up the wall because it's expensive to do and people get very nervous about it. But if you think about it, $15 an hour is $30,000 a year. When I retired in 1995, a long time ago, as a utility supervisor, I made $22 an hour. It's 20 years ago. So it's not a lot of money, $15 an hour. So we would ask you to think about that and maybe ask the city attorney if you can do it. And sooner or later, it's going to be here. So I'm just giving you a heads up. You're going to face it anyway. Because all throughout the nation now, people are going on strike for $15 an hour, and that's the battle cry. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very interested in that issue. Overall, I think actually in this case, these contracts are already subject to the council's fair contracting requirements and state prevailing wage law. So I'd be kind of surprised, frankly, if there was anybody on any of these job sites that was paid less than $15 an hour because we're talking construction. But I may be wrong. It's worth looking into.
Yeah, I have no way of knowing that.
I think that this is all union scale.
It would
work.
Be a nice message to send out.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, this is moved to second reading.